gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to Back the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to this week's episode of One Up Top. Bows are still on the rightful path to becoming league champions. Some people say we've got one hand on it. Some people say we're getting carried away. Man, what do you think?
I think we're well within our rights to be, you know, confident. I think the team is
horny is the terminology.
Yeah,
as Van Gaal would say, horny.
I think we're well within our rights to be kind of fucking bullish about the prospects for the season ahead. You know, the team has given us nothing that I've seen to kind of be worried of course about it. So it's all fucking full steam ahead for me at the minute.
Yeah, early days. Yeah, but sewn up by June, I'd say.
Sewn up by June. Yeah, and. Two lads here I have with me is young Mark O'Mara, the club's graphic design, and Pierce from Monaghan, Gurrier's drummer.
That's me.
That's Pierce. You might see him on some festivals across Europe and Ireland this year. But I do want to thank two lads for coming in this week on short notice. I had hoped to be a bit more proactive, but the 93rd minute winner and multiple gargles till the all hours of the morning on Saturday actually scuppered my weekly plans and weekend plans. So we'd like to thank the Bohemian players for that. But I do want to say thanks to everyone who's shared the podcast the last couple of weeks, or the last couple of episodes, as you say. I think we had up nearly 130 retweets on the last one. So if people keep that up, it'd be absolutely fantastic, because the interaction has been excellent. And, you know, it does go a long way between raising the profile of the podcast and, you know, the listenership probably has jumped up. I don't know if that's because Whelan's left now, but
it's a funny coincidence, isn't it?
No, but so look, so people who share, comment and etc. like that, it is a highly appreciated, and you know, there is a bit of work got into it. Well, not too much, just fucking just give me something to do. But no, lads, we will get back to business, and where we left off was in Sligo, but we did have a matter of UCD on Paddy's Day before. Two games, we managed to get 6 points out of. We did probably look at the three games coming up more so as a block, but you know, UCD, I think we all thought it was going to be hammering, and that really wasn't the case. What did you make of the UCD game, Mark? You know,
yeah, UCD is one of those games like where it looked like, it could have been hammering, but then after that first goal goes in, and we weren't that confident playing out from the back. Like, they were good as well, to be fair to them. Like, they're pressing us. They were active, they were proactive, they were playing a forward. And then the first goal goes in and you're there thinking, like, God, this is a big bananas game for us. Like, how are we going to get back from this? But I think that shows the nature of the team this season, as opposed to maybe last season or seasons gone past, where I think we have the quality to grind out games. Like, and as Decky said, we can play games in different ways now. Like, where if we need to come back, we can do that. If it's a battle, we can do that. If we can play fast attacking football, we can do that as well. So I think UCD ended up being not a hammering, but still will give you confidence going forward after being able to, like, and Ali Coote missing a penalty, but still being able to get a result will give you a bit of confidence.
Yeah, I think the UCD goalkeeper pulled off three or four world-class saves and definitely kept them within the game. First half, you know, we get a goal to Slough that should have stood. Off a lab, you feel hard done by. I can't believe Neil has given that decision. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Like, how you're on the opposite side of the goal. Yeah. You know, we are probably, sounds like it's a few weeks ago this happened now, which it is, in fairness, but like, you're kind of thinking, how have you given that? Like, you're on the opposite side of the pitch, you can't see behind the post clearly, or a net clearly, and you're at an angle where you can't see what's behind. But that's the situation we're in. Then we do get a penalty to go in level at half time, and Ali Coote balloons it over the bar, and you're just thinking to yourself,
yeah, here we go.
Here we fucking go. This is one of them nights. And Pearson, I suppose you went at a half time and you're bar panicking about Chelsea's hiccup in the DJ booth.
He recovered well. He recovered well from that. I actually didn't see much of the second half. I was running a gig that night after the match, and kind of through running around and sorting out different things, I probably got to see about 10 minutes of the second half on the projector inside. But the first half, I was actually quite worried going in at halftime. It was all, they get the early goal and they set out to frustrate you for the rest of the game. It's kind of textbook what they want to do away from home. I was quite worried going in, but I think once you get the first one against them, you get back level, things kind of did open up to create a more chance.
Bit of air of adaptability comes in where, usually they're probably thinking in their heads that these are going to get another one. We're probably thinking in their heads we're going to get another one.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic strike to get us back into the game from Paddy Kirk. I don't know if it was a cross or a pass, a cross or a shot. No, Paddy was probably a cross. But hopefully now that will kick on. And I think someone says we've got 11 different goal scorers across 18 goals.
Very impressive,
Something like that. I'm not sure the exact statistics, but... I don't think there's any player with more than 3 or 4 goals. It's really been a team chipping in.
Yeah, which is good. Because you don't be too over-reliant on past seasons we have been. And one or two different players to score. And now we have a few players that can show up in set pieces. Or a few from goals from midfield and everything like that. Which is really digging us out.
Yeah, I think look over the years, Dini Corcoran, Georgie Kelly, Andre Wright. There was a lot of
Rossi
even. Yeah, there was one or two players we're looking at. I do feel like a team that wins the league still probably needs a striker that gets 15 goals.
Yeah.
I do understand that Falabi is fucking doing Trojan work, and while he might not be getting the ball in the back of the net, his overall play, I think, is more than enough to keep us going, but I would like to see him score more goals.
Yeah, even just for him, it was great to see him open his account. What was that, Pats?
Against Pats, yeah. Then he had the disallowed goal against UCD, so that sort of makes it 2. And
I think it's one of those cliches that... you expect for a new striker coming into a team, once he gets one, to start coming. But it's not for a lack of trying, and it's not for a lack of chances being created. I think you will end up, with a decent tally at the end of the year, but it is still a positive. As you said there, a good spread of scores and spread of scoring ability throughout the team, yeah.
Yeah, we need all players to chip in, I suppose. And then, of course, they went down to Sligo on Saturday evening, and... obviously, the players don't look at it, but without a doubt, us fans looked at 3 games, which is Sligo away, Derry away and Rovers at home, wedged in between them. Definitely players look at it one game at a time. As fans, we probably see it as a bit of a block.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we all would have been looking at 5 points minimum out of the 3 games.
Yeah.
And I think we probably predicted who the 3 points would come against. There's nothing definite. What most likely to come against would have been Sligo. We've gotten them.
Yeah.
So can we be happy with, going into this game?
Well, I think so, yeah. Definitely, especially the way we won against Sligo, scoring 8 goals from set pieces. It wasn't a great game, a scrappy game.
The pitch is a fucking cabbage patch.
And well, especially after all the rain, man.
But all the rain, that pitch during the summer looks like it comes good, but that wasn't a match to play football on. Nothing came off for either team.
It's not gonna be an attractive game of football with two teams playing end to end, passing moves and all this. I think the way you win, if you show up late on, you grind it to the end of the match and you get a set piece, you have to be happy with that. And then that does bounce you into the next game, especially against Rovers. If you're picking about a time that you want to play them, probably is now. Get one of the games out of the way while we're in this run of form. I know they're not exactly in the run of form they were in, but I know a few of us were talking about it, and even Bodge said, it's probably, are we better off them getting their first win out of the way before they play us? Because if they come into, the eighth game? And don't have a win, and form goes out the window and all this, but then the stakes are so much higher for them, where I don't think they'll capitulate under the pressure of saying, we'll both are flying it, they'll get away with losing, but I just think that it takes a slight bit of the edge off of that game.
Yeah, it does take it off for them, in fairness. I was on 2 podcasts last week and I said there was nothing fucking surer than Rovers not beating Dundalk and they getting their first win against us. I think that was really nailed on to Robbie Benson, got sent off.
Yeah.
But we'll touch on the Rovers game a bit later, but I suppose, Pierce, you've probably seen a bit of Saturday. Anyone stand out for you in particular? Probably the 2 centre-halves probably done a good job.
Yeah, I think it's another clean sheet. And the 2 lads look really solid and really comfortable beside each other as well. really comfortable. I know, as we said, like game on Saturday was a wee bit scrappy and probably not the best to watch, but one thing that throughout the whole season so far has impressed me about Bose is the ability to kind of play out from the back when needs be. I thought in other games where the two lads looked under pressure a wee bit, you know, when teams put on a good press, I thought particularly in the first half against Drogheda put on a really good press, but the two lads were really, really comfortable on the ball there.
Yeah, well, I think around Casper, I said it, I think Casper's a proper footballer.
Yeah.
He plays with both feet as well.
He's a proper footballer. Like, you know, League of Ireland, fucking me bleeding Rory Feeling and Kieran Kelly. I don't know how many times last year Kieran Kelly put a diagonal ball across straight down the field that ended up nowhere. Like, and Rory Feely, well, less said about him, the better, in fairness. Look, wish him best of luck in their careers. And if they've somehow managed to scoop and move to England, the best luck to them. But, I mean, like, they weren't footballing centre halves.
I thought Kieran Kelly was better than a few of them. Few people gave him credit for, like, I thought he'd be, like, I'm glad I'm wrong, like, I thought he'd be a big miss, but this was for Casper and Christian to come in, like, I thought he left, he's quick, Kieran Kelly, to be fair to him, like, a decent left foot, but as you said, like, put balls astray and all that, but to see the passing quality of both centre-backs, and then you've got Grant Horton in there as well, he was done a job at right-back as well, like, and you can only, like, you're not going to be putting right-back unless you're a decent footballer as well, like, so to have a bit of flexibility around the back four and to be able to make changes, like, I think the only player in that back four who has his name nailed on the team sheet is probably Casper. Other than that, like, you've Horton that can play right back, Jay Benn, Christian Novak, and then at left back there's been Flores, there's been Paddy Kirk. Like, it's good to see that we have a squad now where there's options, and, like, even if there's injuries, we're not looking at a team sheet and being just like, geez, this is going to be a big miss.
And that's probably something that a lot of people wouldn't have predicted, even as close as 2 weeks before the start of the season. A lot of people were really worried, I'll put my hand up, I was one of them, about, you know, strength and depth at the back there. So it's testament to everyone involved across the back there, that they've come in and it's been so solid from the first game, pretty much. Like, there hasn't been any massive errors, maybe tapping goals, like, but that's not on the defenders, you know?
Yeah. You wonder who that is, getting those players, like, especially from the likes of, from Poland, and, like, where did Casper come from?
Casper came from Poland. I think he got promoted from the second division to the fourth division with a team. The team from the fourth division actually bought him then. And then
they're a decent side.
He never made it, and he just shifted out and all to a third division team, but he seemed to try to restart, recycle his career. I'd imagine Pat Fennin is probably heavily involved in it. Yeah. You know, this thing about the director of football, from what I gather, Casper's actually signed to the end of the summer on a loan, but I think we have the option
to extend it,
which is a fucking
awesome. Makes an awful difference, yeah.
What about Grant? Is he just till the summer?
From what I gather is with Grant is that he has a contract with Cheltenham. Cheltenham, I think, have an option to sign him on. I don't know, but I hear that he's not too eager to go back to Cheltenham. He's very happy at
the success of those.
He does like it here. Won't say too much, but yeah, he's enjoying himself out in Brian's gaffer. We won't go into the details, but he seems to be enjoying it here in Dublin, definitely. But, like, that was the worry we had at defence the pre-season. Settled in excellently, two lads at centre half. We obviously have Horton as an option, as you said, and then we have your young lad Drew Baker too, which he hasn't seen any minutes, but it's hard. You can't step up the two lads. You can't break that 2 centre halves. Yep. The two lads, they're speaking in their own language. They're probably not disorientates strikers, but I mean, like, you know, you're trying to see what communication other players have. The 2 centre halves, what they're going to try to do. Like, fucking Rory Gaffney has an epoxy clue about Polish. Never mind the English. Yeah. But so look, hopefully those two lads stay till the end of the season. Particularly Casper, you know,
be huge,
and Grant as well. I know he is looking to stay at Bowes. Jay Benn. I thought he'd done well on Saturday.
Yeah, every time I've seen him, he's done well. Like, he seems like to be, like, the most attacking option out of all the fullbacks we have. Every time I've seen him, like Grant, to be fair, like, great footballer, but, like, I don't think he has the same cross, like, the same, like, long passing ability as Jay Benn has. Then again, like, it's a good headache for Deck Devine to have.
Absolutely, yeah. Whether he chose him in on Jay Benn on Friday, I think could be a big ask. I think he might stick Grant given the game that it is. But then again, he threw him in Sligo, so you just never know with these things. I do want to say as well, but on Saturday, you know, it's one of those scrappy games. And I said, look, we've got one hand on the trophy. We obviously don't. But I said, we enjoy it while we can. We don't know how long we're going to be there. It could be a fucking season like Arsenal. We could get beaten this weekend and that's it. Like.
Yeah.
But we've enjoyed it up to now. And what I do want to say is, when I did say to Paul Butler and Jamie Connors, you know, 60 minutes, there's a goal here for someone.
Yeah,
I don't know who it is, but there is a goal here for someone. And, you know, I think Connors, about the 75th minute, Connors like, I don't think there is going to be a goal. I'm not sure if you resided to the bar at that stage or not, but I didn't see him after that. And myself and Paul Butler there, I think it hit the 80th minute. And I said to Butsy, I said, we got a goal here. I said, we need to, if we score here, we'll show that we actually should be in a title race, or there's every chance we're going to be in a title race. So this is what you do in games like this where it's scrappy, you know. Probably no team deserve to win, but that's the game that, I'm not going to say, the league champions do win. Like,
yeah, it is. So, like, you start that form from the beginning of the season, like, and it did, like,
it's a mentality, said, like,
it's early, it's way too early on to say those kind of things, but, like, those are the games that you need to be finding a way to win, like, and, like, as late, like, what was it, in the 90th minute or, like, 89th minute when we scored in Sligo?
83rd, I think it was. 83rd. It's still, it's not the 90th minute, but it's still not.
Yeah, it's still, you're cutting a fine, like, but still finding a way to win. And then those, like, what, 10 odd minutes with injury time after, like, that's huge. Like, then what was their keeper?
The keeper like, cut out in the volley. It was like almost a weird karate chip. Yeah. It was Mr. Miyagi fucking going up in the air for it.
Like that Zidane. Like that Zidane goal in the Champions League.
It dropped him, and you know what? That goes in last year.
Yeah.
That was a point I was going to make. Just you were talking about kind of the grit that the team kind of has at the minute. Last year, I think it's fair to say everyone's probably had a pop at the team last year. And it's
rightly so.
And rightly so, yeah, 100%. And because there was kind of a soft underbelly to them, you know, the amount of late goals conceded when things go against them, like lads just didn't want to know, lads, you know, down the tools long before the end of the year. I know it's early and we don't want to get carried away, but like I feel there is kind of like a steeliness to this squad, and kind of you've alluded to it there, Mark, what Detective Ian was saying in a bit of promo for Virgin Media, like, Bows can mix it and match it, and they can beat you in a number of ways. And seeing out a game like that and winning a game like that where it's particularly scrappy and difficult, and you know, you need battling qualities to get a late winner and see out a game like that in a game where you probably don't play particularly well is always a sign of a good team. It's always a sign of a good team when you're able to get a result when you're not playing particularly well. So I don't want to get carried away, but I think we've a really decent squad now.
I'd agree, and I think that's a big difference with Long, like, and not a criticism to him, but like the football that we usually played out Long was like playing it from the back and constantly holding on to the ball, and it felt like sometimes
there was times last year where it was like we were just passing it left to right,
Right. There was no cutting edge.
There was zero intensity. You're like, you knew once we had the goal down on the Long last year, probably the season before too, you're like, we're not fucking scoring that hope.
Yeah, and I mean, like, on paper, it's the right way to play football. Keep the ball and try and, like, shift the defence and all this. Like, but it just felt like that once they scored against us, they could just sit back and let us pass it around them. And then, like, we didn't have much in the air up front, so if they were swinging it in, like, they'd head it out. And do you know what I mean? It was, like, not to say one-dimensional, but do you know what I mean? We couldn't mix it and match it. Like,
could mix up, you know, so teams could just sit back, take on the pressure. Knowing quite well, they have to do is thump one long ball forward. Max Murphy fucking slips on his own feet, or fucking Rory Feedy bleeding, diving headers it and misses it altogether, or Kelly tries to fucking clear it out and miss kicks. You know, that was going against us last year.
Yeah.
He said, no, because on the long wall, no, probably ran its course. And best of luck to him down in Waterford, if it works out to him. Which is a good start for him. But, just sort of finishing up that and wrapping up across the league. We are at top of the table. There we are, just behind us, 3 points. Although we've won 6 of the 7 games, it's mad how we're only 3 points ahead. And, you know, it feels like Derry dropped a good few points. But, look, that's just also how early it is in the season, with people getting carried away. But, okay, I'm not going to tell anyone not to enjoy it while we can.
This is it. That's what football's about. Football's about getting carried away.
Yeah, it's about getting carried away and having egg in your face at the end of it.
This is it.
Like, hyper successful teams are few and far in any football league. You know, particularly the last 10 years, most leagues across Europe have only got one team that have won like the league. Juventus won 9 in a row. Not as changed the last couple of years. Man City have won 4 out of 5 now. I think PSG similar. I think they've won 8 out of 10. Rovers aren't far off fucking doing that here, done that previously. And like, the Hibs are successful football due to the way the model of money is.
Yeah.
It's really leaning that way for teams to have that, or leagues to have that. So,
yeah,
you know, for 99% of other clubs, don't win much.
Yeah, and don't get the opportunities to kind of enjoy. So you have to enjoy the small things, like, and
Absolutely. Not
to say that, you know, being top of the league nearly a quarter of the way through the season is a small thing, but you have to enjoy these kind of moments where things are going your way, because fucking hell, like, we spent long enough last year when things were going against us. Like,
fucking long enough of our lives, fucking suffering and misery. So, you know, as you said, fucking take it back and sit back and enjoy it. The football's great, the mood is great. Again, come good Tuesday, it could be all over to a degree. But we will enjoy it while we can, and fair play to the players, they're giving us enough to fucking cheer about.
Yeah.
But we suppose we'll close up and we'll get back onto bowls, all things proper bowls later on before we wrap up the show, and we'll get on to the two guests. Two lads who actually started sporting bowls in the same year. Relatively recent enough, probably part of the hipsters that have come in and sullied our club.
We're here to represent the hipster
blokes. we're here to take over.
Yeah, we've unionised.
Well, I suppose it's interesting because Mark, you're from Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce, you're from Monaghan, so you'll obviously have two different stories of getting into it. I suppose, Mark, will ask you first, how did you manage to get into the big club?
Well, it would have went like a few times as a kid with like birthday parties and all the rest. I remember you used to get like tickets to school and all, but like you used to call them the Kit Kat tickets, didn't you? They were sponsored by Kit Kat, had the logo and all. And then went to like a few birthday parties and all with that. Like, that was my first experience. But like, that was, you know, I was a child. Like, you've no real interest in watching the football. It wasn't.
You're just there to get your bleeding sweets and your milk, like, and run up and down the stand.
Yeah, this is it. Like, and then so then past that, I fell in and out of love with a load of different sports, and then started getting back into football maybe around 2010, and started watching Arsenal and all this, and then kind of got sick of watching the Premier League and wanted to go to games. And I said to a few lads in 2016 that I was looking to head down to a few games. I headed to, I'd say, maybe like five or six that season, and that was it. 2017 started picking up a bit more, and then 2018, I think that was the first year I got my season ticket. Like, so I think it's just one of those things that you fall in love with immediately, like, do you know what I mean? And especially like just that, like, it felt at that time, like, I mean, it's a very good time to get into bowls because it felt like things were
on the up
and building. Like, do you know what I mean? If I came in and at 2008 or whatever like that, do you know what I mean, it might not have stuck around, but to get people into the club now, like, it's like, and sure, that's the memberships, the season tickets, you see is selling out like every week, like, but I just think it was a good time to get into it. And I'm still here, so that's
testament
to that.
And pace yourself, obviously not from the leafy suburbs of Fisbury.
Not a local. One of the blow-ins.
You and that Rossi, that young mule.
Yeah. I think like I had always kind of kept an eye on League of Ireland from probably when I was 12 or 13. Not in any kind of.
Were you a Monaghan fan, no?
Yeah, I would have went to a few Monaghan United games when I was younger, yeah. Whenever I was playing football, we had no pitch of our own. Like, so we used to play on, so where the pitch isn't in Corda Keegan, there's an AstroTurf behind it. So we used to play there on Sundays. And so I was always kind of knocking about there at the weekends. Monaghan were kind of flirting with the promotion when I was, you know, 11, 12, I think. They got beaten the playoff one year against Bray on penalties. And they were winning the shootout, and I remember watching it. They were winning the shootout, and the wall behind the goals in the away end collapsed, like a little wall of bricks. Like, it's probably 7 or 8 bricks high. Like, there's a big rush of fans. Like Monaghan scored, like, big rush of supporters down to the front of it, and the wall collapsed. And the middle of the penalty shootout was delayed by about 15 minutes. Had to get the bricks off the pitch and all, and then ended up getting beat. I think Bray got promoted then, or went on to the proper. No, I don't know if that was the proper playoff or like the playoff to go into
playoff. Yeah.
But they came up the following season to beat Galway. I think they beat Galway 2-1 away.
2011.
Yeah, and then I went to 2 or 3 games before they pulled the pin on it.
Roddy Collins and
Jerry. Yeah, their first season was actually against Bowes. I actually remember that. Didn't go down to it or anything like that, but I remember I went to the first game, they played Dundalk, the first game of the season, and like, there was like fucking nobody at it. I was actually looking back at like results from Monaghan United before I came on today, and they had the attendances beside it. Like, in my memory, like, there was probably like fucking 100 people at that match. Like, and I'm thinking it has 1,500 as the attendance.
It definitely
wasn't. Not a fucking hope.
didn't even hold 1,500.
Not a hope. Like, barely had 15, never mind fucking 1,500. So yeah, then when I moved to Dublin, 2016, moved up here for college, was living, my first gap up here, was living on Hardwick Street. If you turn where, you know, where May's pub used to be.
Yeah.
And used to live in there on the left. And one of my best mates was living in Cabra. So he was 2 years ahead of me in school.
Now he fucked right into beside the flats.
Yeah, it was grand. It was a fucking grand gaff. I was living with a lad that was in my year in school, Aidan, and he had no interest in going. But one of my best mates who was living in Dublin a couple of years older than him, he was living in Cabra. He's originally from just outside Liverpool, he's from the world. And he was like, we should go to a match some night. And that's just kind of how it fell into it. Me and him and our other mate from home, Luke, went. And I don't think Luke really, you know, is as big into the football as me and Niall were. Like, so we went and thought, this is the fucking best thing ever. Like, genuinely, from like the first game, like, I was like, this is fucking deadly.
What was
like,
the first game?
I'm actually going to be honest with you. I actually can't remember.
It wasn't Derry at home, was it?
No, well... No, it actually might have been Derry at home. Yeah, because I'm trying to think.
The first game.
I tell you what, like, we were fucking pissed going. I'm not lying. Because I remember.
Still there.
Yeah, still. This is kind of how I spend most of my Fridays. But that's. I think like the more we just went, the more you get to recognize faces. The more you look, we get chatting to people, and then. This might sound like a stupid thing to say, but you're kind of your whole kind of like social circle kind of grows
around
going to that. Like whenever I first moved up to Dublin, I was still playing GA, I was still going home most weekends and stuff like that. And then as time went on,
started staying.
It both kind of became a central part of like what I was planning my week around, or what I was planning me life around it, not in a grand sense or anything like that, but just like, I'm doing this on Friday, you know, I'm not going home for the weekend. You get to know more people, and that's just kind of how it grows.
Yes, it's mad, like little social circles you got around balls.
100%.
You could go on a night out, like, we probably got to know you two a bit more since we joined the entertainment meeting in the club.
Yeah.
But even before then, you know, we bumped each other, like, anywhere you'd fucking stop and bleed chaff.
100%.
As long as the day could be, like.
Yeah. Well,
that's the best part about the club, like, for me, like, sometimes it feels like a social outing for John of God's.
clubs definitely get a government grant for the people that cross that door. Like, from fucking myself to Conor McGoak roaring bollocks of fucking Lions men, the fucking news team coming out the streets of them. Like, it really is a fucking free for all. It's like it just both attracts lunatics and magnets. And
it's
great in that sense.
Ah, it's brilliant though. Like, and that is the biggest draw of it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, like, the football is there, and like I think, like when I describe it to anyone like who's thinking about coming down, it's like the level of entertainment on a Friday night, they can't be better. Like 15 quid in for a ticket, and then you make that back like at the bar, like three cans of Sierra Nevada for a tenner and all that. Where'd you rather be, like sitting outside or sitting inside a pub paying like $6.40 for a Guinness, like, and no entertainment other than lads looking at their phones or looking at the Premier League on the TV. Like, at least you're like standing up, you're standing around, lads, you're chatting, it's a huge social scene around the club. Like, I think that's what people stay around for, like, as you get to know more and more people, and like, I think that's one of the biggest draws, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think particularly the members all model like one man of all, and you know, sort of the fans of our club. Like, I think there was a good point made by Bodge yesterday, or I was chatting to him yesterday. And, you know, people saying, oh, you know, the club need to do this, the club need to do that. We are the club, like, as much as the board is the board are still only members. Like, us, they're elected to fucking run things out. But they said, like, across the fucking club, he said, everything is done nearly by fans, you know. We are on the entertainment committee. I know we all, well, yous probably more so than me, would have certain contacts within, you know, the music industry. You know, yourself, Pierce, had got Mango in.
Yeah, Mango's my housemate.
probably listen to this.
Yeah, it was an easy one to sort out. He's good pals with Shawnee Fitz as well, who's on the committee as well. I think Shawnee might have given him the first text. Because Mango came home one evening and was like, Shawnee's after text me about something with the Bulls, and I was like, what? You know, so it was actually probably Shawnee sorted that out. But yeah, fucking, it's actually been really good. The committee's worked really well so far this year. I think the buzz has been good, but also, like, I know it's probably difficult for us to get, like, kind of authentic kind of feedback, because you turn around and ask your mates, what do you think of this, what do you think of that? They'll turn around and say to me, yeah, it was good, yeah, you know, it was deadly. But I think you chat to anyone that was there after the Dundalk match, never mind was playing, like, it was unbelievable. Class, like,
it was a proper, like, fucking my back, like,
it was real old school kind of feel, like, to it, like,
him and Derek doing back to back at one stage, yeah, like, it was constant fucking,
yeah, people
yeah. Pay out of the door 100%, like, that, like.
And that's brilliant, and, like, I think you can only get those opportunities with Bows, like, because, like, even with artists now at the match day series, like, everyone's happy to contribute to Bows because they know that about us, like, they know it's DIY, they know it's fan owned, they know it's all done by members, and they see us just doing it for the only principle or the only reason that we want to see a better buzz at games. And I think you've much more reach doing that, like, when people see, like, there's a good, like, value and all this behind it, like, and that's how you get people like Mango and Dart, like, and sure, Dart wasn't even planned to be there, he just started mixing tunes.
You said the lads didn't charge fucking a red cent.
No,
for the club. And that two top the easiest, like, with good goals across them.
And, like, there's people are same point you were making there, Mark, like, there's people actively interested in coming and doing this and coming and being involved with these kind of nights, I suppose, because they see it for what it actually is. It's like authentic. It's
the ragamuffin video, like,
the ragamuffin video, like, is like the best thing.
I can't imagine how many DJs seen that went, that
looks unbelievable,
because,
like,
I wasn't a phone out, I don't think at the top of the video, everyone was just, like, fucking bopping their head. It was like, fucking, not get me wrong, I believe that split that bollocks out.
Yeah.
But still, but fuck me, that was some crack. That was really one of the great nights in Dalyman Park, I have to say. And like, as you said, if there's any people out there that think they can offer something in regards to DJing, if you're able to play an instrument and you're willing to give up your time for the club on a Friday, fucking hit us up.
100%. Like, I think, like, we've had conversations and had meetings, like, talking about doing different, like, stuff that's, like, kind of out of the order, like, different genres, stuff like that.
Different types of music.
Yeah, so we're open to anything, like, I've had people reach out to me, like you have said before, other people on the committee, like, I've had people reach out to them about wanting to do different things later on in the year and different games and stuff like that. It just shows, like, the interest is there, and if there's anyone that,
well, it's a great venue as well, like, even 100%. If you're a musician like that, like, if you're thinking about, like, I know I'm biased, but if you're thinking about, like, legendary venues in Dublin where they include sports, music, everything, you've got the Point Depot, you've got Lansdowne Road, and then how far behind that is the likes of Daily Mount?
Probably not far off it, yeah.
In terms of, like, football, and you've had, like, everyone who's played there, and then in terms of music, like, Tin Lizzy, you've got...
If you ever look at some of the posters from the gigs back there in the late 70s and 80s that are in the bar, like, it's mad to think what went on. Like, it's actually fucking crazy.
Like, that's not played.
It's fucking mad. Like,
and I don't know if anyone knows, but Bob Marley actually played in Daily Mount once.
Yeah,
it was his last ever outdoor gig.
It's never been mentioned. But
should make a change or something. Like, should we?
They should make some sort of commemorative item.
I have to get someone to spray them on the wall.
We should try to make some money out of that.
Yeah, but that was it. Fucking, if anyone does have any sort of skill sets, or, you know, you want to give it a bash in Daily Mount, particularly once they're starting off,
100%. Yeah,
you know, you're not going to be, no one's going to build you off the stage or anything like that. So look, the club has. Over at the club, we've put a bit of a band together around the entertainment, so people do feel free to ask, can they do something, because look, there's plenty of space there for the rest of the season.
There is scope to do stuff,
and, you know, we're more than willing to accommodate anyone in any sort of genre of music. If you think you can bring a crowd, or if you think that you can keep people in, or you just want to give it a bash, look, it's there for you. That's a bit of a plug on the committee we are on at the moment. But, you know, that's what Bows is, you know. It's everyone pulling from different directions. And
100%.
It's what people have bought into Bows for.
Yeah.
You know, that's why people have bought into Bows, you know. I think Sheepy made a very good point on the last podcast. He did say, like, Bows brand is different. Like, our brand is, you know, it's different to everyone else. It's fan-owned. It's, you know, it's not built on success. It's not built on fucking winning titles. And as much as we'd love to, don't get me wrong, we fucking love nothing more But, you know, it's not like the be all and end all, which is, I think, what, obviously, Lambert and Devaney and the likes of them who were on the board years ago, that's what they wanted to build the club towards, you know, just sort of a reset, what area is a football club?
Yep.
And that's what we've built towards, unlike, I think, you've seen Rovers. Their brand is built on success. Like,
100%.
Like, if they lose on Friday, they play UCD on Monday. If they lose on Friday, you know, but obviously not out of the title race, Rovers are still a top team. But, like, you know, how many people show up to UCD on Monday?
Their attendances are dwindling anyway.
Yeah, the attendance isn't great.
Like, if your whole model as a club to draw people in is built on success, that's fucking fragile. Like,
yeah. And some people, like, in other clubs will say, like, state of our ground, but like, sure, we love it. We've got the three bars. You know what I mean? Like, but like, other than that, like, if they're not bringing in like trophies to that stadium, like, it's not a great ground. There's no real buzz around it. Like, you leave that ground, like, your nearest place to drink is a hotel. Like,
it's literally the arse, literally the anus of Dublin. Like, it's fucking right down the bottom of the mountains. Like, a lot of Rovers fans aren't from Tallaght. They have to fucking make the treks back to wherever it is, and there's a few cunts on the north side.
But, like, do you remember the night we played Drogheda, and there was more at the Bulls Drogheda match than there was in
Rovers, yeah.
Fucking.
Than the Rovers.
Rovers
Cork.
Rovers Cork, yeah. That was the 4-4.
That's what, six games in?
Yeah, that's four fucking. I'd fucking hate to think what that'd be like in July if they fall away a wee bit. Actually, no, I'd fucking love to think about
that. Yeah, I love nothing more.
For us, like, I think, like, while we haven't won anything in the recent while, we've been growing so steadily. And now, like, I think that's proof to show, like, that, like, we need that bigger stadium. And we will fill that bigger stadium, even if hopefully we win something soon. But even if it doesn't happen as soon as we'd like, that we can fill a 6,000-7,000-seater stadium, because people are coming for more than just the football. Like, and I know people say focus on the football and we do want to win things, but like, it shows like that we can, we have a different model, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Even look at UCD at home, the attendance for that on Paddy's Day.
Everyone's got options of doing stuff like
And like, even say the ground's packed, there's over 4,100 people at the game.
Yeah,
the mono stand is full, which you could see the reason why people were going to the mono stand over the S Kelly, because you've got cover.
Yeah,
like, I see fucking away fans complaining, a few bleeding Pats losers complaining, like, they were complaining, you know, oh, Bowes are charging £20 into the mono, the stand, there's no seats and all. And I said, like, ask those Derry fans or the fucking Rovers fans who went on Dock and Togga Park, book it in rain or
Friday,
would they give up their seat that they're not sitting in?
Yeah,
100%.
For a cover over their head.
Funny, yeah. I was in Oriel on Friday, I was back at home last week, and a couple of mates followed on Dock. Was in Oriel on Friday, and Keep Ward sorted me out with two tickets for me and one of my mates. Like,
another plug.
And
get Ward to do DJ the other season.
A bit of luck. And I'm showing up. I don't know if the tickets for just a kind of general kind of admission. I don't really know what way it works up there. Thank fuck I was in the stand. Like, it was getting raining all day, but it, like, opened up in pastry on Friday.
I don't think there's anywhere more miserable to be, like, in general, but when it's lashing rain, isn't that a waste stand?
I think if it was like the sunniest day of the year, it's still the most miserable place in fucking
It's a shit way to go around. Even talk, I remember the bank holiday Monday at Booker last year,
the home of the whole city academy.
Shelbourne Tigers,
But,
do the roar,
but like, fucking people complain about, you know, £20 times a meal.
Sure, everyone's charging us £20 nearly.
I don't know.
Pats was 18.
Yeah.
There was no cover.
No fucking seats.
No seats or no cover. Like,
you get a few seats in the corner. It's the same in Dundalk. There's a few fucking owl rovers out sitting in the corner there last week.
Yeah. I used to love that away end, the shed. And
That was my favourite away ground. It's just shite now. There was comments, I think it was LOI Central as well, about Rovers fans and talk a few weeks ago. I think it was Dan McDonald said the atmosphere was poor enough. When there's no roof,
it's so hard to keep the noise.
You said this.
I said the start of the season. People are going to fucking. Cork was bouncing. Then it came to.
That's a brilliant ground, though.
That's what I'm saying. But it has a roof, and then you keep the noise in.
You keep the noise in, you keep the sound in, and you don't end up in the situation like it was when we played Shells. There's like four different fucking songs being sung along the fucking.
And you wouldn't mind. People are standing 10 feet away, and they can't hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking. This is the way it is, like, with no roof, you just can't keep sounding. I know, like I said, America there's no stance, but these cunts have bleeding megaphones and some mad cunt sitting on a bleeding fence at the front, yeah, the big one, and coordinated like bleeding Pavarotti. But yeah, it's just different, you know. Pats away is my favourite ground, and it's just not anymore because there's no roof on it. It's just a bit poxy. Yeah. You're standing there out in the bleeding bitterness, and you just, it's hard to get things going. Same as Talca Park, you know. Even though Bonsaigo's a great atmosphere, I didn't think the thing they gave us much to shout about, but once you scored it, the fucking place was on wheels.
Yeah.
And no, it is important that fucking fans remember that. We've got coming into two big games the weekend. Derry, always good atmosphere up there, and of course, we're going to have to make it a fucking proper cauldron of hate and venom.
100%. Like, and I think because there's been such a, you know, a lack of availability of tickets, in especially last season, even when things were going badly, like now that there is going to be less away fans, you can make this a proper intimidating place to be, like for opposition players and stuff.
Yeah, so they're almost cornered in.
And I know fans. We're just as I was saying, it's difficult without a roof above you to kind of keep the noise in and keep things kind of coordinated or whatever. But like, you know, it can't just be up to, you know, the lads in F&G to kind of keep the atmosphere going. You know, the lads behind the goals in the Res Kelly have to do something to keep it noisy, keep it loud. Like,
yeah, yeah. The young lads throwing jellies out.
100%, like,
throw flares at Manus.
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, I think we'll be positive this weekend because there'll be a crowd down on Block A and a crowd on Block G. And I think it's good probably to have, I know, it would be better if it was all together.
Yeah.
But I think for a game like Rovers, it won't take either end to get out of Bedford.
100%. Yeah, sure, yeah. And also, like, I know a lot of people, whenever people first started coming away from, you know, F&G last year and going down towards A, because they were kind of not happy with what was going on, you know, it's full of younger supporters and whatnot. Now they're after spending a full season in A. That's where they go regularly. So they should be allowed to go down and stand there and, you know, create their own atmosphere at both ends. And it adds to it now, I think. I know at the time that people first started, like a bigger amount of people started going down towards A, people were saying, oh, we need everyone together, whatever. I quite like the fact that there's a decent crowd down in Block A now that make a bit of noise as well, because it just adds to it. Because up that end of the ground, without them, there's no noise, you know?
Yeah, it felt like a real, like, it was like bad natured or something like that displayed at the start, but
I think too much was made of it.
Yeah, you're true. You're right, actually. But like now, I actually enjoy like almost like going like following where we're scoring. Like I'll do one half in G, one half in A. Like
there's an element of that too. I think there's actually better view in A as well. Like,
there actually is.
Yeah. No, I was in G for a couple of games, and obviously I don't get in at fucking 7 o'clock like some of the young TikTokers.
Nope. Yeah, you have to be up to, like, because even you, I'd be looking.
We're too busy running the bars, you see. Yeah.
But even having a look up there, the last game was I had a look up at like 6:45, and there was about like maybe a third of the stand taken up with people sitting down. Like, so, like, it's very hard to like motivate people to get like, sure, how early do they have to be in there? Like,
I know the fucking the hierarchy club was as well. Look, if you want to be there, get in earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that should be the case.
It can't be managed.
I don't know. Like, we've already talked about it. I don't want to go into it. It can't be managed better.
Yeah.
We're all in terms of the ultras, the hierarchy of the club and the fans in general, but like,
yeah, it's obviously Cork City are doing wristbands now to get into there.
Is that right? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. Don't get me wrong, that could be implemented too. I know your man did have Dermot Usher had a meeting about the atmosphere and that's what you get. Like, I went down there and I remember it was just literally teenage kids as far as you can see.
Yeah.
And you know, I can understand why they're there.
100%. Like, when you see the videos and stuff like that,
the flares, it, like, the banners,
why wouldn't you want to be involved with that? But
yeah, you're not
standing in amongst that to be a spectator to that as well.
That's
as a match.
The issue.
100%. Like, I think for the younger lads, like, get fucking stuck in and make a bit of noise and fucking join in with the rest. But like, you're not taking up the seat of someone who could be contributing to the atmosphere for the sake of you wanting to be in the middle of it. You're not a fucking football tourist here. You're there to contribute. Like,
and the NBB do a huge right, to be fair. Like, a lot of the last few winners have come out of like some of the lads' pockets as well. Like, and like loads of lads giving so much time.
Yeah, if anyone can donate, I know that the NBB are selling scarves and they've been set up. So if any fans would like to contribute towards it, they're putting fucking a lot of work and time and.
Especially if you're taking up seats and video and buy a scarf at least.
But we said we want to move on now and we'll talk about some of your favourite moment, lads, probably supporting both. I know probably COVID interrupted a couple of years, but
It's the COVID years, like, they were unbelievable, to be fair, like the games of the Aviva.
Yeah.
I think that was they're up there, like, for sure. All the games in the Aviva, Pauk probably more than anything else, like, but it just seemed like football for and life in general just stopped for everyone, and we were just having
we're the only ones on the planet having fun, wasn't it?
I think one of my favourite moments following Bose is COVID, but it was when we played Ferva in the force. It was one legged, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was one leg away. Hey,
but I remember we watched it in a public house that will remain nameless.
Was the one that was in the newspaper the next day.
It may or may not have been in the newspaper.
A two-page spread of
I don't seem to remember.
Yeah, camera
But when Bose went 1-0 up, like, that was probably what, early July? And like the last couple of months have been like the shittest you'd ever go through in your entire life. Like, yeah. And it's like the poxiest thing that's ever fucking happened. Like,
yeah.
And then I just remember going 1-0 up and the fucking, like, the elation. Like, I know we ended up getting beaten. It was shite. Like, don't get me wrong. It was fucking brutal. And we got fucked out of the pub before the fucking penalty shootout as well, which is bad too.
We were watching the penalty shootout down in the hut there.
I watched the penalty shootout in the DJ booth at the Bernard Shaw.
You and Whelan, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fucking brutal. But I'll never forget, like, just that feeling of going 1-0 up and just, like, it was just like a release that I hadn't had in fucking months. Like,
you're watching the games at home, it was like, call it what you want, it was fucking shite. We're winning every weekend, that was it as well. Like,
that's what watching football on the telly is like, it's fucking poxy.
It's
like,
1-0, yes. Yeah. And that's it, back at your phone, great goal, lads.
You're more concerned about the fucking reaction on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, 100%.
So, like, I just remember the room we were in, it fucking lifted. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that feeling, just like, oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah. And then obviously the games in Aviva and that as well. Fucking one of my personal favourite moments is I hate when they put us playing Rovers like first game of the season. I think it's I think it's
shite. You want to enjoy the first game.
I think
game
it's
of
fucking
season.
Shite. We beat them 3-1 first game of the season. It's probably about 6 years ago now.
Paddy Cavanagh
scored, and then Dan Casey scored twice.
Yeah.
It's fucking, we were 1-0 down maybe 20 minutes to go, 25 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Fucking unbelievable night.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been even then like said then the next time we played Robert's first game of season when it was fucking hurricane conditions. RTE were meant to show it live and they couldn't.
They wouldn't even put the camera up.
It wasn't safe to put the camera up, and I think we were all, because it was the first game of season, everyone was like, "Ah, no, why isn't this going ahead? This should be going ahead." You watch the match.
I think if that's mid season, it gets called off.
100%, yeah. I think we probably just want to get the show on the road, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But and then fucking that puck screener scored on Friday, or that game, I guess, the last minute sort of.
Yeah, the only bit of joy out of that game was like you heard the rain before you saw it, like, and then you couldn't even see the away fans in the Des Kelly. Everything just turned grey.
Remember that sheet of rain just came?
Yeah,
it was fucking mad. It was mad. That was the last night the garage bar was open. I remember one of my mates was meant to come, him and his brother, Connor, and the game was at fucking like 2 or 3 o'clock or something on a Saturday, and I think I was chatting to him during the week, and I was like, "You coming up?" I think it's Connor from Fontaines, like, so I don't think he'd actually been to a match before, or whatever.
As a plug.
And but
damn, dropping your
he was meant to be coming with his brother, and so I text him that morning, and I was like, "What's the crack? Like, we get a pint beforehand," and never heard from him, so I was just like, right, you know, maybe he's here, and he just never texts me, whatever. Like, and texts me like 5 o'clock, and he's like, "Yeah, just on my way up to Dublin now." I thought the match was at fucking 7:45. Absolutely poxy, like. So we were all drinking and up the back in Davies, like, and he was staying with us that night, so we had to show up, and like, we were fucking pissed, like, had to show up, get the keys to the gaff office to go and fucking drop his bags and come back in or whatever. It was fucking poxy.
Yeah, there's been some memorable Rovers games over the last few years. Any particular favour, I suppose, other than the Paddy Cavanagh?
Do you remember the one fucking day two men sent off in the first half out in Tallaght?
Yeah, Denny Cork and Mr.
Penner. Ah, it was fucking, I remember my mate Niall that I mentioned earlier that we first went with, me and him went out to that, and I actually haven't been in Tallaght that much. I've probably only been to Tallaght maybe like fucking 4 times, like, and it's rare you get a result out there. Like, I missed the 2-1 with fucking Darryl Leahy scoring. Missed that because I was stuck in work at the time. I was still in college, like. But I particularly remember that one because, like, we probably didn't deserve to get a result that night. One of the red cards, possibly the two of them, were quite harsh.
And yeah, like Lee Grace, the handball. Wasn't
yeah, you spend long enough bemoaning fucking decisions that go against you. So it's fucking fantastic when you get two brutal decisions, but they're in your favour.
Yeah.
You know, you go 1-0 up before halftime, you grind the result out. I remember being actually like just incredibly fucking smug after that. Do you know? Yeah.
That does happen as well, but these things come round. Like,
this is it. Everything.
Like, remember that the same season. Then obviously the call. Oh, it's not a corner. Like,
yeah. Well, that happened at the end of the year, and like, not that it's all cyclical, but sometimes you get the breaks, and sometimes you don't. Like, and it's just one of them.
Even looking at that, I was watching that Shells game against Derry on Friday, and I have to say it was the first half was good watch. The second half, it just got poxy as it went on. I felt like. Like Duff complaining after, but like you can't play to the choir and they complain about like the amount of times in that match where you know when a player is you know chasing the ball and just sort of stops
and then they get a contact
there was multiple times there was no contact and Duff was notorious for doing it. Yeah. But then like, you can't have it
all game or the whole first half against us, like any bit of contact from the back
straight down and the referee gave it and I'm like, you can't have your cake and eat it, like. Yeah. You can't complain about referees while you're playing up to it as well, like.
Yeah.
I know that.
But that's Duff for all of it. Duff just loves to fucking complain. Just loves to have this whole
poor me attitude.
Yeah. Man. This whole agenda of it's fucking Shells against the world. Like, I don't know where he's gotten this fucking. It like baffles me. Like
people might not like us.
I don't get it. Like,
literally the why. Like, I summarised it earlier on. We were chatting about it. Like, Bowles Rovers. Like, compared to Bowles Shells and Bowles Pats.
It doesn't even come into the equation.
Fucking compare, like. Yeah. Not get me wrong, I'm playing Shells and Pats, you know, there's a bit of buzz about it, but, like, boy, in large, if you lose it, you forget about it an hour later after the match and you're on the bar. Like, fucking, Rovers game is different. Like, woke up this morning, and, you know, then thinking about the game, you actually start getting a bit sick in your stomach, like.
100%.
Your stomach starts to turn. It's only fucking Tuesday.
I hate, like, literally, like, you'd look forward to the Rovers game.
And then as soon as the first whistle blows,
you're just like,
I'll get this over. I'll take a point now, mate.
Yeah, like, even.
Literally, it's, like, painful, like, the anxiety and everything like that. You just want, like, you have to be 2 or 3 nil up in the first half to feel comfortable watching that game.
And you never feel comfortable in them games. Like, they're a horrible experience. And you either feel horrible after it or you feel like the best you've felt in fucking months. Yeah. And that's how football should be, you know?
Yeah. As I said, it's probably the best fixture in the country without a doubt. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. Everyone can talk about bleeding, Dundalk, Trotter, Shells, I assume, were Shells' big rivals.
Yeah.
That's what I guess. Pats is probably fucking Rovers, like, but. Like, you cannot compare the fixtures. Rovers fans will tell you, like, fucking, you'll be lying in bed and just your thoughts, like, this and tonight.
100%.
Wednesday, you'll be like, oh, we're playing this on fucking Friday, and can't lose this. We lose this, they're up our arse again.
But even on Sunday, I went to watch the car and went for a few pints after.
Went for a fair few, did you?
A few too fucking many. There was a lad there that I know that follows Rovers. I actually wasn't chatting to him that much. But as he was leaving, he was like saying good luck or whatever. Like, I'd know him to say hello or whatever. And he was saying good luck. And just after he left, I was like, fuck, I'd love to do them cunts on Friday, you know? It's just that kind of nervousness that comes on once you think about the fixture. You know, you're sitting in your pub, we weren't really talking about, we were talking about fucking the guy or whatever, like. But whenever I seen him and he was leaving, I was like, fucking love to do them on Friday, you know?
I think it's the
only derby that, like, people, like, at different teams in the league, like, would watch, like,
give a shite about, yeah, like, yeah, 100%.
Like, as you said, like, those are the ones you were saying, like, Dundalk and Drogheda, like, just to take it or leave a game, like, if you're going to watch any games in the league, like, but, like, if you're talking about, like, if the Dublin derby isn't televised, like, I'd say it's one that, like, a few lads are paid to watch on LOI TV. Like,
definitely, yeah. Not using the fire stick. Right, Mark. So, I do have a couple of questions to ask you.
What?
What's your Bowles 5 beside him?
You go first, Pierce.
Right, for a 5 beside team, I'm going to have Supple in goals.
Right.
Because I think he's better with his feet than Tabbitt. And that's nothing against James. Actually, no, it probably is someone like Inter. No. Yeah. I'll have Supple in goals. I'll have Detzer. I'll have It is tough. I'll have Detzer in the middle of Boko. I'll put two in the middle. In the middle of Boko, I'll probably put Coot. Coot's actually really impressed me this year so far.
Best player, I think.
Best player so far this year. And then up top, I'll put Georgie Kelly up top.
You're taking a few off me there now. I'm gonna start in goals. Ireland's number one, Jimmy Talbot. And then
only around the corner from here.
Yeah, shout out Jimmy T. Who else? I think Detzer has to go in there. Like, if you make a five-a-side team, everyone's going to pick Detzer.
Detzer's a townie as well, and they're bleeding when it comes to five-a-sides. You played against them.
Yeah.
They're thieving cunts. They'll take anything. They will take anything they can get. I think you played against 7K a few times, and like, you know, he'll dive in the five-a-side.
Most of the times I was down there, everyone's kind of, would you call a referee and just kind of standing there on the side?
Yeah. Oh, he was refereeing, yeah. Oh, they were very competitive game, weren't they?
Fucking unbelievable. Yeah.
We've had a few. I think we had Paddy down and he was like, fuck me, I've never played a 5-a-side game like that.
The pace of it's fucking madness, like.
For a bunch of piss artists, like, it's
brilliant. Well, maybe we don't give ourselves enough credit.
That's true as well.
Where was then? For you rudely interrupt me there. Whereas Boko has to go in there as well. I don't think he gets enough credit for how good he is on the ball. And obviously he's going to be covering every red glass or grass. And then Jordan Flores as well. I think I'd have him, technical, good baller, and then up front. Jeez, I wanted to say Georgie Kelly, but I'll go for Dinny then.
And then, right, lads, next question. You get one person to go with a drink with, one football player dead or alive to go for a drink with.
I know most people kind of say Maradona, don't they?
Yeah, it's an easy fucking.
It's an easy answer. Everyone
sex, drugs, and fucking. Well, rock and roll for you, but.
I'll go with for similar reasons, I'm going to say Wayne Rooney.
Really?
He's just a bit loose, isn't he? He's always fucking caught up doing mad shit. I think if you got him in the right form, you could have the wildest night out of your life,
Career summer caught up in granny sex scandal.
Jamie Whelan say Ray Parr, or did he?
Yeah, but he looks like Alan Brazil.
Then, do you know what I'll go for is Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan, big drunken Duncan.
Big drunken Duncan.
You know what I'm
saying? Huh? No, I just think it'd be fucking gas night and I'd be sitting there, 7 points of Duncan, absolutely terrified.
Drinks fucking best bitter fucking Newcastle ale.
He's whatever. A man I could see on the Baileys and Brandy.
Yeah, definitely. You can see him fucking giving it the lads. Wouldn't want to get the wrong side of him, mind you. And lads, I've added this question in the season, so I'll keep it up. Mark, I'll start with you. What does balls mean to you?
Oh jeez, that's a difficult one. I don't know. For me, it's been it takes over your Friday nights. As you said, it's such a huge social scene. I love being involved with it as well. From doing graphic design, doing match day artworks and everything like that. What's been a great part of that is how DIY it is. How in different clubs, they probably wouldn't get that volunteer aspect because I don't think there's a way you could take control of something or make something for yourself in the club, and I think that's been a huge part of being involved for me. But I'd say it's just the crack and the lads down there. It's just I don't think you'd be beaten on a Friday night. For the lads that I've met, the new friends I've made and everything like that down the club, and you look forward to it every Friday night. Even though you might be nervous on Friday night going down for Rovers, but you'd be looking forward to the session afterwards, win or lose.
And pierce yourself.
Yeah, Bose has kind of become an integral kind of part of my life in the last, however many years I've been following. And it's something that everyone I know always kind of asks me about. If I go home, a lot of my mates that were back at home have kind of emigrated and stuff like that. So a lot of my friends that I see now is through the football. So it's a huge part of my social life. But anytime I go home, my dad's always asked me, my ma's always asked me to propose, my mates always ask me to propose. It just shows how much it's become so important to me that it's something that people know to kind of ask me about it. Anytime I'm away with the band, I bump into someone, they're like, oh, how's Bo's getting on? That kind of thing. It's just a huge part of my life now living in Dublin. Like, you know, this might sound a bit savvy. Like, I couldn't imagine how my life would be without Bose, because so much good has come about through me just like tipping up to a match one night with one of my mates, like, and just, you know, that might seem very big picture kind of way of answering it, like, but it means an awful lot to me, because like it's kind of shaped in a roundabout way, it's kind of shaped a lot of how my life is at the minute. Yeah,
would you say it's a community?
Possibly, yeah, you could say something like that.
Let me bat around it.
God, how to make a show of yourself. Not that I haven't done it myself. That's a good answer, lads. I think
We're doing favourite memory.
I thought that would have been the Cobb game. Well, go on, shoot, Mark.
You'd have to cut that bit in the middle there.
I will go for it. I haven't got that much time to edit.
Yeah, I'd say Pat's away. What was it?
2019.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. I called in sick into work to be at that game, like, and then storming onto the pitch. Sure, the atmosphere, it was unbelievable. That was the last one with the shed.
Yeah, the last one with the shed.
And all the lads, like, there was the flares, and then everyone had the blow-up.
Blow-up inflatables.
Yeah. Everything, the water wings and the palm trees and everything going around. And then my boss at the time was watching the game. He was streaming at the time in work. And they recorded it. I had my dad recording it at home. They were on the pitch and they zoomed into the back of my head. Like, and it was my fucking fat head. I suppose anyone could recognize it. And I had my scarf out holding it. Like, and I think he was the only person who didn't clock me. Like, my fat head was my boss watching it. Like, so I got away with that one. Like.
And yourself, Pierce?
My favorite memory. I know everyone kind of says it. Those kind of couple of games in the Aviva.
Yeah, it's hard not to, like.
It was unbelievable. Like, and I think, like, because it's such a, like, at a funny time in human history, like, where everything's so shit and nobody's out doing stuff, like,
no one's seeing each other and God knows.
It felt as if we were the only people in the country having a good time. Imagine. Like, you know, it was mad.
All the anxiety and everything that's around it, all that, to have, like, moments of just pure joy and elation.
I know it's grand to say now, because we got three good results out of the 3 days there. Like, even if you had to go beat the first day, to be in the Aviva at the height of the summer, one day, you know, seeing all the lads, you know, having a few drinks, that'll probably still be my answer. I know it's probably a bit of revisionism or whatever, but like, to have the couple of weeks that we had was fucking outrageous. Like,
definitely. Yeah. I do want to touch on your point, Mark, about that St. Pat's game. I remember it was my uncle's wedding. Take place on, I think it's July 16th the following year, and I remember that Pats game was bittersweet for me, because like, UEFA had already released the dates for the Europa League fixtures, and one of the Thursdays, which my uncle's wedding was on, was the Thursday July 16th. So I was going into that Pats game going, oh, I'm actually not going to be here for one of those legs.
Yeah.
And like, to me, I couldn't enjoy it. Obviously, I was fucking delighted, and there was every chance that one of the games would have been away, or that would have been able to go to, but I knew I was going to miss one leg in Europe.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there thinking, I couldn't enjoy it to the max.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking to myself, geez, I hope something happens somewhere where you know, something will go wrong. So I take part, blame the pandemic, actually. But I remember that's one take I forget. You know, I enjoyed it, but I couldn't enjoy it to the max, because I knew I wasn't there for one game. And lo and behold, fucking nobody was there for. Cheers for your answers there, lads. And we will move on to the Dublin Derby on Friday. Cautiously confident?
I'd say so, yeah. Cautiously is right, yeah.
You can never be overly confident. But I think at the minute, I don't want to be overly confident. I know Matt's saying you can't be overly confident in these things, you can't be too confident. I feel quite bullish about it. I genuinely do.
Bullish and arrogant.
Well, I don't know if arrogant. No, I do feel quite bullish about this week, in that I'd be quite confident of getting a performance out of the lads and out of that group at the minute. And I think if we get any sort of performance out of them at all, like, we'll be there or thereabouts.
Yeah,
I agree.
I was looking at the fixtures, like, how Rovers are 10 points behind us, which seems a lot. They beat us on Friday, and I'm still in negativity here. If they beat us on Friday and we lose to Derry, and they win the two games, all of a sudden that's 4 points.
Yep.
And it's fucking, yeah. It's essentially nothing, like.
But that's often how it happens with the kind of, I know they've kind of stretched out the Friday, Monday stuff, you know, the run of fixtures like that. But things can change so quickly in the League of Ireland and in terms of like momentum. Bows have a lot of momentum there at the moment. Rovers got their first win last week. Like, things can just take a turn every so often, which is kind of goes back to the point that I was saying earlier, and you were saying as well, Jordan. Like, just kind of enjoy things when they're going well for you. Like, you're well entitled. You can fucking carry it away when you can.
Yeah, and I think this team, like, especially the way you've been playing, like, would give you a lot of hope going into that game. Like, I don't think anyone in that dressing room needs to be gotten up for the derby. Like, and sometimes you wonder, like, is like, you do you want to get like the emotion into the dressing room? Like, sure, like Flores and Bucco and Paddy and all would be up for it, like, but like maybe like leave Casper and Christian just to play their game, like, you know, yeah. Just to be cool at the back. Like, but I think we've done them with worse teams, and they're in a form, like, I think we're a different side now, like, especially at the back, like, so.
Yeah, we're not shipping kind of soft goals like we were last year, and I think like I watched them last week, and I know they won 4-0. This might sound a wee bit stupid, they actually didn't overly impress me that much, and that's probably with like me Bowes glasses on a wee bit. But up until that red card, that game was nip and tuck, and also like Dundalk were missing Hooban. Did like your man, his name Martin, was up top for them. Didn't really impress me. Like, what was no good with his back to goal. Like, they were just trying different things with him. I don't think anyone was really comfortable knowing what his strong points were, and it was all over the place from Dundalk. Really, I would put like that result last week. Personally, I would put it down to a poor Dundalk performance.
Heads were gone, definitely,
and a red card. But like the 20 minutes after half time, Dundalk came out and bossed that game. They had a nick to goal. That game could have went either way. That's 2-0 at that stage. They're a man down.
Yeah.
There's every chance there. They go on and nick a draw. You know, they make a big push for 20 minutes, tired legs for 10 men. The game opens up a wee bit more, and Rovers punished them. And the third goal was particularly soft. But, like, they didn't overly impress me that much. And they have a tendency this year for throwing away leads, shipping soft goals.
I think they've been involved in 5 games where there's been goals plus the 85th minute, like, where either they've lost 2 points or they've gained the point.
100%, and it was like us, we were in the exact same sort of situation last year, you know, shipping late goals all the time.
So us beating them then, that really fucking, what's that do to their mentality? Like,
yeah, it's
huge. It sets them back as like, oh, it's just going to be one of those seasons where I'm going to be inconsistent. Don't get me wrong, Rovers go on 10 games winning spree. That's
what I have done, and pulled it out.
They could still, this could be the start of that unlocking, could be the catalyst for it. But like, again, if we give them a setback on Friday, that's 14 points behind us. I know we just said fucking 10 points is a lot if they win their 2 games, we lose our 2 games. 14 points is still a massive fucking,
it's a big haul
to pull back. The starting 11, look, it's going to be Talbot, Kirk, the Polish, the Orient Court in centre half. Bernard Grant.
I'd probably have Horton too. I don't know. I think Ben gives us a lot going forward, and I'd say like maybe for your 2 different centre backs, I'd say yeah, go for Horton. But why not be able to, like, because what they played, what a 3 at the back, like, no, there's gonna be space there for the overlap, yeah, like,
definitely,
especially Coote likes to drop in into midfield. Like, why not give us another option?
That's interesting as well. Sean Chapman looks stiff last week to me.
Yeah,
he looks very, very old. Looks very, very stiff. Not able to get about as he did, like, playing on the left there last week. Maybe that's actually not the worst option. But
be interesting to see if Bucco was fitting enough to start. Just goes to show us the depth we have, that Bucco hasn't played many games.
We haven't already missed him. And even him at right back was brilliant against
Cork. Absolutely. And so it's hard to know whether it'll be McManus and McDonald in midfield. I do think Akintunde will start on the 10. And then on the right, who do you think was starting on the right?
I would have thought it'd be Coote up on the right, and then Akintunde in the 10. But now
it's very inter. They change it from minute to minute.
That's what I think has been working for us so much, is that like they don't know where Coote is going to be, so he always seems to be that free man. Like,
well, we haven't really had like an out and out like
Dylan Connolly.
I know we're just talking about the players kind of interchanging roles. I don't think we've had like an out and out 10 as much this year as we have had in other years.
Yeah,
I feel it's more, it's possibly more like a 4-3-3 nearly.
Yeah, it
at times, like, the 10 is a little bit deeper.
Like McDonald's more like taking over 10 as a press nearly. Like,
yeah, 100%.
It's been like that, and it's great to see the flexibility. Are we precious now for a result?
Do you want to go first?
2-1 Bows.
2-1 Bows.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. I think 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to go 2-1 as well. Hopefully we're all right. If we're all wrong, I just hope it's not a 2-1 to them.
Yeah.
We can see it being a very tight game.
What do you think about, what about Liam Burt? Will Liam Burt play?
He's not fair. You know, so. People are giving him sticking on, and he's weird enough that he's fucking biting back.
Yeah.
Like, he's replying to 14-year-olds on Twitter, and I'm like,
it's a funny one though. Like,
it's strange. Why would you do that?
But if he's not fit, why doesn't Bradley or why doesn't someone in an interview come out and say he's not fit?
Is it not in the injury report or anything for them, like, saying that?
It is an odd note. From what I gather, he's got a groin injury, and he actually does suppose you have a groin injury. But it's weird that he played 120 minutes in the Leinster Senior Cup a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And if that, what to me, doesn't make sense. Ford, I think, is honestly the best player in the league.
I'd agree. I just think it's a funny situation.
It is strange.
Like, if he is injured, why...
Just not say it.
Why are the management not coming out and saying that and kind of, like,
saving him,
sheltering him from a bit of that abuse there?
And why is he getting 15, 20 minutes here and there? Like, it does make sense. I do think he's injured.
They've got a team full of the same players, like him, Graham Burke. Like, they've got so many players in that role. Like, do you know what I mean? Those, like, wide forwards, so kind of half tens, half false nines.
But also the fact that he's not getting a game there, if he's hurt, say that he's hurt, because... If you're not saying anything about it, rumours start, and there's rumours that he's not happy. Now, I know if I had to move out of a gaff for one of my best mates and move him with Rory Gaffney, I wouldn't be picking him either. Like, but, like, that's... You can shelter the player from that, and it's just... I think it's just poor management.
Yeah. It doesn't really make sense to me. I do hope we get the result, and we go to Derry on Monday. Derry aren't playing particularly great at home. I don't think they've won yet at home. I think the main thing is we get out there injury-free, give them the pitch.
Yeah.
Do we want to give a prediction for Monday?
Monday is harder, I think, because I think one of our best games last season was Derry away, and then we lost to that wonder goal.
Yeah,
that was the weekend the Queen died. That was a great weekend.
Oh yeah, you were up there at the party hat.
The party hat on, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's a harder one to call, like, and I think our result against Rovers will affect it as well, like. And I don't know if it'll be in a negative way. Like, I think if we beat Rovers, would we be less likely to win up there? Like,
it's hard to know.
I take hand and all for 4 points now. Yeah. Out of the weekend. I take hand and all.
I think it's more important we beat Rovers on Friday than Derry on Monday.
Yeah.
In terms of keeping Rovers out of the, like, obviously it's very early to talk in title race. But, you know, just to keep them pegged back.
Even the Europe conversation.
Even the Europe conversation.
100%.
Again, if we win fucking 7 out of 8, that's an incredible start.
Yeah,
we're gonna go just fucking big Bohemian balls. I'm gonna go 1-0 up in Derry.
Yeah, Pierce.
I'll go 1-1 on Monday. I'll go 1-1.
I'm tempted to go with you. Fucking 2-0 balls.
There you go. There we have it. And just a final sort of call of duty here. Mark is a graphic designer. Get on to him if you're looking for your needs. And a couple of lads around the club: Gianni, Kerry, Gary Keaton. I believe Frank Farrell's completing his college, so get on to the lads if you're looking for any work to be done in graphic design. Pierce is a rock and roll star. He's probably not far off becoming professional. You know, you're thinking backing up to Mary Waterford's, are you?
Yeah,
I would say that.
Yeah, it's, well, yeah, we can say it now. It hasn't been announced yet, but I'm fucking telling people.
Yeah, an inside plug.
Yeah. It's gonna be a busy summer. It's gonna be good. We're doing a secret gig in Dublin before the end of the month. So I suppose I'll give a plug, keep an eye on our social media for all the details of that. It'll be free tickets. I think it's provisionally, I think it's booked in for the Thursday night before the May bank holiday. So I think it's like the 27th or 28th of April, whatever the Thursday is. It's the night before we play Shells at home.
That's May.
It's May, is it?
Yeah, well, there you go.
It's the last weekend of April, is it not?
No, it's May. Shells is May, I think.
You sure?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, no, maybe I have that wrong. But anyway, it's at the end of this
month. Hello, man, it's gigs,
aren't you? Yeah, it's the end. I think it's the end of this month. We're doing a secret gig in Dublin. It'll be free tickets. Tickets will be limited. I think it's about 100 capacity.
The day the secret.
Yeah, because I'm not in charge. I play the fucking drums. Like, I'm not in charge of the details.
Just play the hits.
Yeah.
So look. So the Gorillaz, looked them up. We'll spin a song here at the end. What's the song called?
This is our latest single. This is called Approachable.
Approachable. Yeah. And And look, Pierce, other big news come up for a particular favourite artist of mine that we can't say yet.
Yeah, just the mid-season break, it falls on in June. So
any last requests?
I tell you what, I'm after getting some new shoes. Actually, funny.
Yeah, they'll be looking for me VIP backstage pals right now. But thanks, lads, for coming in. And it's fucking derby week. Make Dalymount Park a cause and a pay. Venom and fucking abuse those cunts. Get behind the team as much, and as we do every week, lads. Come on, the fucking ball.
Hold them all.
I am, at least my friends say I am. I'm approachable.